Survey says.
I can't read lips, so.
I mean, mine is like way behind. My TV's got to be like 5 minutes in the
Kobe past. Sanders, let's go.
Kobe yeah. Sanders, okay.
Love it. All right, Metcalf, so you started with the let's go, so I'll let you go first here.
I love the way he plays, and I thought his season this year at Nevada was so much fun. From it's like Walmart Yegor Demon kind of this year. And he's 6'9", really fun playmaker passer. Not, you know, the processing speed and all that kind of stuff needs to speed up a little bit, a little too much catch and hold. The outside shot is a big question, but when you look at his mechanics this year compared to last year, there's a huge overhaul he's done with his lower body specifically. And I think that it looks a little more natural, a little more comfortable off the bounce. And we see that in the numbers too. Off the catch, it looks a little more mechanical. So I think he's trending in the right direction. He's just one of these funky guys that I think is going to stick around in some form or fashion, not as a starter or anything, but really high IQ, a lot of versatility. Love the size, buy the shot long term.
Maxwell, how about you?
Yeah, I'm on a similar page to Metcalf here. One of the things that I believe I posed it as a question on Twitter like a year ago is like, who are the highest feel guys in recent drafts that didn't pan out? And most of the time they do, so long as they have positional size. And Kobe Sanders certainly does, being sort of a jumbo guard. I agree with a lot of what Metcalf said about, you know, maybe there's a little too much dribbling at times. Oh, traded to the Clippers. Okay, wow, interesting.
That was fast.
but yeah, I like his overall game. My biggest concern with him coming to the pre-draft process was how well he was going to hold up defensively. I thought he could be a little bit clunky laterally. And while he knew where to be, he could be a little slow getting there during the regular season. And I thought he must have had a phenomenal pre-draft. When I saw him play in the Portsmouth games, he was moving so much better. He was much lighter on his feet. His responsive footwork at the point of attack, I thought, looked a lot sharper. I was really impressed with the type of shape that he got himself in. And as soon as that event was over, I think it was pretty clear that even when the pack was a little more full, that he was going to be a top 60 guy when it was all said and done.
So I have not seen the trade details for this past move.
Knicks just moved back to 51. They literally
okay, yeah, that's what I was. In.
I'm okay. Assuming some like top 58 protected second round, sure, future second yeah. rounder or something.
Yeah, $217 in cash.
Yeah. Yeah, so Knicks are back on the board. Okay. You know who I think would be really intriguing? Eric Dixon.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say about Dixon, I think one of the things I like about him is he has that sort of Jameson battle potential in this class. Where you kind of said, like, I don't know what else he does, but it's like some of these guys you can just play in an NBA mm-hmm. game. And if you can get a guy who can do that on a cheap contract, like, why not? And I think Dixon's like one of those dudes.
They got positional size and they can shoot the crap out of it. So yeah, I like that comp a lot. The battle was fun.
Yeah.
At Minnesota, at Ohio State, was he good? That's a different question, but he was fun.
Yeah. Well, the Raptors liked him enough to give him like a 4 year, non-guarantee or whatever it was. So if you're getting signed to any sort of substantial deal at some point, I think it's worth monitoring and like looking for that type of player on the margins.
I mean, at this point in the draft, it's basically 50-50 if any of these guys play any NBA minutes at all, right? So if you're pretty confident in someone like Eric Dixon of, well, he can play on an NBA court, right? It's like, you know, even if it's, you know, 7 minutes a game, right? That's going to be more than you usually get out of the 51st pick.
Certainly. Yeah. And I think now we're starting to get into territory too, where like we could see teams get really funky. Like this is kind of what we talked about in the pre-show. Like, do we see teams go really outside of the box? I'm curious, do you guys have any like outside of the box gamble guys that you're into that are like maybe non-traditional or a little bit funky that you would take a swing on?
And speaking of shooting, I like me some Nate Santos from Dayton. Again, can't do anything else. I don't know, but guy can shoot the crap out of the ball. And I don't know what's in the water at Dayton, but they're just producing between him and Kobe Brea these last couple of years, they're just producing lights out shooters.
Don't forget my guy, Daron Holmes, who literally learned how to shoot while he was at Dayton.
Yeah.
I mean, for funky swings, I would be very interested in Cam Matthews here, just as someone who, you know, the exact inverse essentially of Eric Dixon, right? Of I think that he can get 7 minutes a game on an NBA court because purely of the defense, right? So pick his hand, Mark Tatum's walking up.
Knicks went stash with Mohamed Diawara.
Okay, good pick. Yeah.
Maxwell?
Yeah, Diawara is just really solid. Like he has the NBA measurables that you're looking for. Really sort of like a shell of a 3-and-D type of player. the idea is there. I feel like every time I watch him, I'm ready to fall in love. And then I get into the actual tape and I'm like, nice. He's pretty good. It's yeah. fine. Not much of a shooter yet. 28.2% from deep. I believe he started red hot from three. Like, I feel like there was a point in this cycle where I was like, oh my gosh, like this guy is going to be my guy. He's 6'8", he defends, and he can shoot. The shot looks really funky, and it's just not there yet. Decision-making is fine, though. Uses his length really well. Like, there's reasons to be intrigued, and I think if you need to stash a guy, I would much prefer to stash this type of player. But overall, probably not a guy that comes over.
I think he's the most intriguing stash. You know, like an Eli Ndiaye is kind of fun with Real. I'm not sure he ever comes over. Blanking on his name, but the guy from Trento.
Niang. Yeah.
Thank you. Very fun, but a little older. Shot is rough. And DOR, I love DOR's physical tools and some of the defensive stuff. He just always feels like this should work. And then it just never quite does. So, but yeah, kind of like you said, I probably never comes over, but interesting swing if that shot really does find some consistency and takes a leap.
So this pick here is going to be Golden State. Looks like it just has been submitted. Who are the highest guys on you guys' boards at this point? For me, it would be Will Richard, Max Schulga, Peyton Sanford. But I'm curious, any names that you guys like that might be in consideration here for Golden State?
Yeah, well, my guy Lockett's still there. Got to mention him again. And then after that, it's Alex Toewey, Bryce Williams, Max Schulga, and Dylan Cardwell are the next five.
Yeah, I got Will Richard, Lamont Butler, Eric Dixon, Sanford, Vlad Golden, Toewey.
Mm-hmm.
Then a bulk of names that are all about the same.
Yeah. These are, I feel like the premier two-way targets, like left on the board at this point. And after that, it gets potentially really dicey. I'm intrigued to see what Golden State does. This is like a real team that doesn't need anything. Like, they're already a team that plays a million guys.
And they kind of need to go with some sort of center, don't they? Because Kevon Looney's, isn't he walking?
Oh, yeah. It sounds like he's just out the door, which is, it's hard for me to imagine Kevon Looney on a different team at this point. I'm a Quentin Post and a TJD guy, but yeah, you probably want another.
But I'm like, both those guys have played off the floor pretty quickly in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Pick is in, and it's Alex Toewey. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote about him pretty recently, so my opinions on him are all over the internet. But Maxwell, you may remember me calling you
from a
hotel room in Northampton, Massachusetts, deeply confused about what Alex Toewey was as a player and what he's going to be as a player. So why don't you give everybody some of the rundown of some of the confusion that you helped me talk through?
Yeah, Toewey is a very bizarre player. I feel like he is very savvy, makes quick decisions. When he gets the ball and he's open, he lets it fly, even if he's a little bit behind the three-point line. And he's an active defender who gets a lot of steals and blocks. He plays hard on the glass. Just a guy who sort of like is 6'7", 6'8", plays the right way and has like the requisite NBA length you'd want and plays like mentally at the speed of the NBA game. He's just not a great athlete, and he's somehow never really shot it. Like, he's always a guy that I want the shot to be there, and I feel like it should be there. And the way that he takes him with assertiveness makes it feel like he should be a shooter, and he's just not a shooter.
That's the thing.
I have a theory on that. His hands, I think, are gigantic. Like, I remember at Hoop Summit, just seeing his hands in person, they were like abnormally big.
Well, that explains the defense.
I don't know what the measurements actually were, but
I was
going
to pull
a baseball
up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look, with Toewey, I think part of the reason that people think of him as a shooter is that the shot really looks pretty, but he took 7 shots off the dribble total the last 2 seasons. He's taken 18 shots off screens. You know, I talked earlier before the two of you hopped on about shooting versatility, and that is not something that Alex Toewey possesses. Maxwell is cracking up over there, so why don't you share with the class?
Alex Toohey's hands are as wide as Common Malawak's hands.
Yeah. See? I'm onto something here. I'm not crazy. I knew it.
Yeah.
I mean, you are, right. But this is not proof of it.
Well, yeah, not in this instance. That's... Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, and then Bryce Williams is the other oven mitts wing on the board remaining at this point. That's wild.
Didn't Lachlan Ulbrich also measure out with like the biggest hands at the combine? What are they doing in Australia with hands? And can Rocco Zakarski get on that program?
They're killing spiders the size of cars.
That's yeah, what they
deal with. True.
Yeah, it's an evolutionary trait that they all picked up.
There we go.
Utah here is interesting. I'm interested to see where they go. It seems like they've gone. I mean, Ace and Walter Clayton are like two such opposite sides of the spectrum with the first two picks. I'm interested. Would you guys go swing here? Or would you go like boring vet that maybe helps you right away?
I would absolutely go boring bet that helps you right away.
Me too. I mean, don't think there are good swings at this point.
I think I'd try to go like point guard of some sort, but then, you know, I'm looking at the list and the only one I really like is Lamont Butler, and I don't think he's going to get drafted anyways. It's kind of tough.
I mean, I would just, you know, again, two names that I've already said multiple times, but Will Richard, Max Strzelga, just get a guard in the room who can make good decisions, who's more of an adult than most of the rest of their roster. I mean, they have Walter Clayton already. That's huge on that front. But I would just be looking for someone who, like, can you play 10 minutes a game for us?
Oh, John Tanji.
Interesting.
Maxwell, interesting. Your thoughts.
John Tanji, we talked about Eric Dixon being a guy who shoots and doesn't do other stuff. That's also John Tanji. He does not really pass the ball. He doesn't really do anything on defense. He had more turnovers than assists as a guy who was like 37 years old playing college basketball this year. But he's big. He's strong. Like, he's physically large. Like, I think he weighed like 227 or something like that. He can bully his way to spots in college at least. And he can finish above the rim. Like, he has some real athleticism. So I think that's the idea, is like maybe we make him like a low usage guy who can run off the line and make open threes. I think just between the age, the fact that he's had one good college season and it was when he was as old as he was, I'm extremely skeptical. I also think he's like pretty absent of feel.
Metcalf, you seemed extremely enthusiastic when the pick came in. What are your thoughts?
I just don't think he's an NBA guy. You know, he put up some awesome numbers, some awesome scoring numbers, I should say, in college, especially, you know, mainly in that lone year at Wisconsin. But like Maxwell said, there's no feel, there's no decision making. I don't see how he ever. I mean, obviously, we're in pick 53, so, you know, not trying to take away from his moment getting drafted or anything. but regardless of who got picked here, they're probably not going to touch the floor anyways. But it feels like we talked about redundancy earlier. This feels redundant as all get out with better players in terms of Ace and Keontae and Jordan Clarkson, all guys who aren't awesome playmakers or decision makers. And then you have lower down on the totem pole, Bryce Sensabaugh, Johnny Juzang.
Yes. Yeah.
John Kanji.
Exactly.
Like there's no feel, there's no passing, there's no decision making on this roster anywhere.
So, it is wild to just draft an older version of Bryce Sensabaugh.
Yeah.
Like that is nuts.
So I don't get what they're doing with that at all. Like even just like a Vlad Golden would have made way more sense to me. A Victor Lockin, just get a third center because they don't seem to love Walker Kessler. They don't, you know, Kyle Filipowski is a little more of a power forward. They don't seem to, I don't know. Some of their roster building decisions have kind of been bewildering. And I liked what they did in the first round, but just an odd pick for me.
Is the plan to play Tanji and Ace Bailey 40 minutes a game so they can get AJ Devonta?
Could be. Yeah, those three and those two and Johnny Juzang on the wing.
That might make Ace quit basketball.
Yeah. I don't know. My other thing too is I don't like drafting guys that are that old. Unless like I really believe in them, because like in my head, I'm comparing John Tanji to like, would I rather have John Tanji or would I rather like use a two-way to kick the tires on like Jalen Hood-Schifino? Like I'm so much more interested in like guys who are still younger that have at least maybe shown something in the G League that I could acquire, as opposed to like using draft capital on John Tanji.
Like we're all incredibly encouraged by that particular pick, but looks like the selection is in for Indiana. I don't know if it's actually been made on Metcalf's screen, because I think his stream is like 3 minutes ahead of both Maxwell's and mine.
Yeah, and I'm in a commercial break on mine. So it's the Taco Bell commercial. So it could be the next MVP that gets drafted right here.
So Metcalf, who would you be looking at if you were Indiana? And you can say Ryan Nembhard, or you can say a whole lot of other players.
you know, I think Will Richard makes sense. I think Vlad Golden makes sense. I think Victor Lockin makes sense. I think they need another big. So like Vlad or Victor Lockin, two guys who have some skill, can space the floor a little bit.
I kind of like Vlad here.
Probably be my top two.
Yeah, I like Vlad in the sense that, like, if you're worried about anything with Vlad, it's like, is he going to make decisions and whatever? And like, this is an offense that does not require you to really make decisions if you're the big.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in the Miles Turner role, like, they've done a great job for compensating for the fact that he does not have much, like, on ball juice unless it's like a catch and shoot or a dunk. So, I think he would be a really interesting fit here. Ethan Almanza was a green room invite. Do we think that's like anything? Do we think that means he's getting drafted? Because that would like kind of stink. The bad month for him if you pop for weed and then you fly halfway across the world to sit in the green room and not get drafted. Like, you'd hate to see that.
Well, on the plus side, weed is legal in New York, so he's going to be totally fine. Yeah, I mean, I would assume he gets drafted somewhere. I don't know if this is the spot. Yeah, he's been a very difficult evaluation for me this year in particular. I think last year I was a lot less skeptical than I was coming out of this year, which really just both on and off the court, not the best year for Ethan Almanza.
Yeah,
it was Kalon Peter. Guard.
Whoa, Liberty. Calculator boy pick. Yeah. Let's go.
Wow.
All right, Maxwell, all you.
Yeah.
Kalon Peter played at Liberty this last year, and he is bizarre. Like, he is like a legit scorer. He's like 6'4". He's got a good body.
Yeah,
and right. He can explode to the rim and finish above it. Like, he is a very, very interesting, like, calculator boy kind of pick who gained a lot of steam. Not a guy who was on many draft boards. Not a guy I spent a lot of time on because he wasn't like a Portsmouth invite. Wasn't at G League Elite Camp. But he hears his name called on draft night. He had 32 dunks. Per synergy this year. And again, this is a guy who's 6'4", drove to the rim a lot, made 71.4% of his half rim attempts. So he can really, really score it.
And 46% from three on over 12 attempts per 100. And
yep. Yeah. So inside out junior. Bomber is what you're looking at. And if you're like, whoa, why wasn't this guy a bigger deal? It was a lower usage role at Liberty where they have like a lot of other people that do the facilitating. Like if you watch that team, Owen Aquino, who was their big man, did a lot of their facilitating. I think Zach Cleveland is the kid's name that's from Normal, Illinois, that plays for them. He does a lot of stuff, is like a bizarro Ben Simmons type, like 6'6 guy who doesn't shoot at all. So Peter just kind of feasted off of their work. So sort of a non-passing pure scorer. It's 6'4", who doesn't really do a ton defensively, but like has some decent size.
So Maxwell, your Chicago Bulls are now back on the board after a trade with the Lakers. Where would you be looking here for Chicago?
I would kind of like to go with like a real big at this pick. They've been kind of thin in terms of bigs, but like particularly rim protection. Like, it's been a lot of offensively tilted guys that they've rolled out at the five. It's been a lot of Jalen Smith, a lot of Vooch. Would love to get like a guy that can block a shot ever. At the center spot with this pick here.
Metcalf, your thoughts?
Yeah, like just a center or someone over those, you know, 6'9" mark who can play defense would be nice.
So even I'm just hearing like some
shooting, like some wing shooting would.
No, that wasn't an intel thing. That was
oh no, I thought it was
that was me just saying I'm hearing you guys saying that Victor
the 55th pick is Lachlan Olbrich.
Okay, yeah,
I'm assuming that's a stash.
Maybe I mean
maybe
yeah. This is so I think I might be the highest on Lachlan Olbrich because I actually did have him on my board. So
I had him at 74.
I did too. Yeah, I think I had him like I think I actually had him in like the 60s.
Yeah, he's a very funky player. I mean, you know, I mentioned the hands thing, which is, that's something. But I mean, he's someone who just finds ways to score around the glass. He's not the biggest, most physical guy, but he just finds weird ways to put the ball in the basket in a way that, you know, who knows at this point in the draft, taking that kind of swing for a team that needs a big man. I mean, you know, again, this is about the range I had him. So I get the swing, but seems like I'm the highest on him, given that I did have him at 56. Metcalf, what about you? What do you think about Olbrich here?
I mean, his motor's insane. Some really fun rim pressure stuff. The really good footwork around the rim with how he finishes there. The shot seemed to kind of regress almost this year from the previous year. Not sure if he can space the floor. And then I just kind of question what he is defensively.
That's the problem.
Seems stuck between being a power forward and a center. He's not really a great primary rim protector, but he's not quite quick enough to defend people in space. Like, he's physical, he plays hard. I'm just not sure what he is on defense, and I think that's going to be a really, really tricky fit.
Yeah, I'm on a similar page. Like, that's just my thing with him, is I just don't know who he guards or like where he really provides offensive value, because he's probably best as like a crasher and a slasher. Yeah. And he can pass a little bit. I just don't know how much I trust that to scale up, given like his physical just measurements and strength and athleticism. He was really good in those league camp games. Like, I think he's like genuinely a good basketball player. I just don't know how applicable it is to the NBA. And I feel like it's the Bulls just, again, like taking another one of these guys who's like not really a big, not really a power forward.
They have a type.
Yep. Yeah, they really do. Yeah.
All right, Memphis on the clock here at 56. I'm just going to say Max Schalke again, because I think he makes sense a lot of places, and this is one of the places that might be most likely to take him. But Will Richards, someone else who actually, Will Richards, the highest guy on my board at this point. Any other names y'all want to throw out as potential Memphis picks here?
Schalke kind of, I feel like, fits sort of what they look for. I really like Bryce Williams. Like, I feel like Bryce Williams is a guy where I wonder. I feel he was a really good movement shooter at Charlotte, like pre-Nebraska. And I feel like that's something that could be tapped into. Cause I know that like what he's known for is like the ice price, like pretty methodical on ball stuff. And I really just wonder if it is something that could be scaled down. Like, I think there's enough feel and shooting and size in there that at a certain point, I certainly think he'd be worth, you know, a swing on.
And does of like Golden Victor Locke and Dylan Cardwell make sense here, given totally. Edie's injury? Mm-hmm. They haven't gone big yet, I don't think. I'm trying to track the second round, but thanks, NBA. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. So I think some sort of big with one of those guys makes a lot of sense. Otherwise, they just repeat their Tarek Bibirovich outing and stash one of these random international guys who we don't think probably ever comes over in a Niang or Ndiaye, who are the top two, at least on my board right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I do think
top two
I do
in
think
terms of is. International statures, just to be clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think big is kind of the most obvious thing, now that you mention it.
Ryan Nemhard could be fun, but they just went Javon Small, mm-hmm. so that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Nick, the clock is winding down, so clearly they're not, you know, they're not as they're just as unsure as we are, clearly, given that they're letting it run down to the last second.
Nick, is there a big guy that you prefer at this spot?
Lockin's the highest big left on my board at this point, so he'd be the guy for me.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping. I know he's injured, but like, come on.
Like, perpetually?
Well, exactly. Yeah, but also currently. Especially and currently.
Of course he is. What is it this time?
Yeah. You think I'd learned from the Kevin McCullough thing last year, if like maybe I should just stop putting guys that I like really high when I know that they're injured all the time, but I won't. I'm not going to learn. Yeah. I refuse.
No.
Not on that front. I'll learn from other mistakes. But
no, because like, what if they get healthy though?
Yeah.
Like, what if those previous 5 years were just a fluke?
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of people at the age to get now, healthier.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I don't want to talk about Embiid. Poor guy.
Pick is in, so mm-hmm. hopefully we'll find out soon-ish.
I kind of like their draft so far, though.
I love it.
Coward made a ton of sense.
Yeah,
I feel like in a lot of the mocks we were doing, it was like, God, like if Coward's there, they're gonna take him. But like, he never ended up falling there. I thought that was a really smart trade up. I like their point guard depth now with Scottie Pippen Jr., Javon Small. I was shocked Small fell that far. He's such a fun player.
Yeah, like I'm Mr. Small Guard skeptic, and I had him in my guaranteed contract tier. Like, that's how you know Javon Small is a baller. Like, he is. Scottie Pippen Jr. is like, funny enough, like kind of the guy I compared him to a lot, where like he had to play this extremely high usage role in college, and he was still effective in it. Showed that he can score at all three levels, run an offense, get into people's handle on defense, really compete, stay mentally engaged despite that high workload. And I think this is a great situation for him.
Well, the pick is theoretically in. Metcalf, your stream, I think, is the farthest ahead. No word?
Nope. They're talking about a possible trade, it looks like, with the Shams, but...
Wow, possible
saying trade. Potentially on the move to be determined where. I love that the clock is just fake.
Yeah,
I love that they're like, you've got 5 minutes. This might get traded. Who knows? Like,
whatever.
It's like, just say you don't want the pick. You know, pull a Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. Let it roll over to Orlando. Let them jump up and... Bizarre process.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what this is, because I like Memphis. I feel like generally does a great job in the draft, even on the margins. So I'm a little confused as to what the holdup is here. Okay, Mr. Showtime in the chat says this is going to Golden State.
Interesting.
Okay, circling back to Biggs.
Yeah,
there we go.
For the 45th time. I like a Vlad Golden. 59
is going to Memphis. So they will now have the last pick.
Thank God we.
Yeah. So. Another one of those move back two spots in the late 50s for like $17 in cash.
Yeah.
All righty. Survey says.
Come on.
I see you walking, Mark Tatum.
Show me the graphic.
Mm-hmm. Show me the money.
Will Richard, love it. Makes it sense.
Exceptional. Great. I mean, he was the highest player left on my board, but Metcalf, what about you?
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Just smart defender, great off-ball mover, kind of fun shot maker. Do I really trust the shot? Yeah. But, you know, at 55, 56, whatever pick it was. I think it's really good value item at 40. I really love the team defense. A little skinny, surprisingly, but tough, plays hard, and just love the motor on both ends of the floor. I think he provides some really solid, deep rotation upside.
Yeah, I had him at 37. So, again, you know, this is almost 20 spots lower than I would have taken him if I were running an NBA draft board. I mean, yeah, I think I'm a little more positive on the shot than you are, Metcalf. And I mean, the defense and the versatility and just the high basketball IQ makes a ton of sense for a lot of teams. Certainly Golden State is a team where he could have a lot of success. But Maxwell, what about you?
Yeah, I was a little bit lower on Will Richard. To me, like, he's a guy where I feel like he never really improved to my liking. Like, I was always kind of hoping for him to take a big step forward, and it never came. But they brings up a question I kind of want to pose to you guys, which is, as we enter this sort of like super team era of college basketball, do we need to sort of like adjust expectations to a degree when it comes to things like usage and scoring load for guys like Will Richard, who are clearly very good at what they do? Where historically, like, the data has always pointed to, like, oh, it's, you know, the high usage guys, the stars of their teams or whatever. Like, college teams don't produce five NBA players that stick. Like, are we sure that's going to be true going forward? It's just something I've been thinking about a lot lately.
I think Florida in particular is a really interesting case study, because like freaking everybody seems like they, you know, pulled out of the draft to go to Florida, right? Like, oh, Ben Henschel's going to Florida. Oh, Javian Lee's going to Florida. Oh, Boogie Flan's going to Florida, right? And it's like, after they just won the national championship, they basically just reloaded the entire guard roster. And so I'm not sure how that applies in the aggregate, but for Florida specifically, they seem like a place where it's like, look, everybody's going to have the ball in their hands. Sometimes, you know, we want just as many guards on the floor as we can. They'll figure it out together. He's like, just get a bunch of smart guards in the room who can pass, dribble, shoot, and everything else will figure itself out. I mean, again, we've seen, you know, things like obviously the Kentucky run under John Calipari, where it was like, yeah, there are going to be five guys who get drafted because, you know, five of the seven top high school recruits went to the same program, right? I don't think it's quite that at Florida, but certainly they reloaded very quickly after that national championship.
Yeah, and I think it kind of comes down to, what's your primary strategy? Are you a tape person? Are you a stats person? If you lean heavily towards the stats, I think you're going to have to adjust your models. But we've been doing this, like Nick said, since Calipari. And like going back to Devin Booker fell farther than he should have. Tyrese Maxey fell further than he should have. Jamal Murray fell, like, just because they're surrounded. Yeah. It's like, oh man, let's say, oh, this guy only has a usage of 16. Like, is he really the guy? And you just overthink it and kind of forget the context.
Yeah. I think now it's going to happen more with like 4-year role players. I'm like, well, this guy was a top 15 player in his class. Like
Max Shoga to Boston.
Great pick.
Excellent pick. Yeah.
One of the best players on the board, knockdown shooter, really like tough as nails. That was when I did him for No Stone back when he was before his first year at VCU. That was one of the queries that he popped up on was 3-point shooting, ball control, like assist to turnover ratio and free throw rate. He's like a very physical downhill player for a guy who's sort of like a shot making guard. And I thought his handle got better every year. Back at Utah State, when Steven Ashworth was like the primary ball handler, Shulga could not handle an aggressive ball screen coverage. He's still not the most dynamic handler, doesn't have a ton of counters, like not going to use his speed to split a ball screen. Like some of the stuff is certainly like off the table for him, but it got quite a bit better, and he does an excellent job of using his hands at the point of attack to generate steals. Really, really grew as an off-ball defender, both tactically and in terms of using that same physicality to draw free throws on offense on the defensive end over the last year.
Metcalf, your thoughts?
I've never really gotten it with Shulga. Like he's just the definition of fine for me. And I can't get that. No matter how many extra games I watch, I just cannot get that tournament game out of my mind where he was an abject disaster. And I don't know how he creates like a lot of the stuff that he did at VCU. I'm not sure how it translates. I think he's a solid spot up shooter, but everything else, I'm really skeptical on how it carries over. I'm just a little lower on him, but I obviously guys like you are much higher. So I know he's kind of been a deep sleeper favorite for a couple years now, since he, you know, the year before he transferred to VCU. So he's just always kind of like Maxwell was saying with Will Richard. I've just always wanted a little more from him, and him being at, you know, lower or smaller programs and still not giving that has been a little frustrating for me.
I said this earlier in the stream. I think if he was 3 inches taller, he might have been a first round pick, just because part of my biggest concerns with him are, can he do enough point guard stuff given his size, and can he defend bigger players well enough also given his size, right? I mean, again, he was the highest player left on my board after Will Richard got picked, so I'm very in on Shulga, to be clear, but definitely if it goes wrong, it will be because he can't do enough with the ball in his hands.
Yeah. I think that combined with like lateral foot speed stuff on defense would be what does it. Cavs on the clock, pick is in. Anybody wait for this team? I mean, this is a team again that's pretty deep. They drafted a wing last year in Jalen Tyson.
And they went Tyrese Proctor earlier, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So they already got a guard.
Probably a tough sign for Ty Jerome. hitting free agent market. And some sort of wing, maybe big depth if they're looking to actually make one of these moves that they keep getting rumored about. But given the standing of the East, why not just run it back?
Yeah, you have to overpay for like a 1-year thing. You know what I mean? Like,
does a Ryan Nemhard or a Cam Matthews make any sense here?
Cam Matthews would be kind of sick. I think Cam is a fascinating play to me at this point in the draft, especially given how they like to use their bigs as playmaking hubs at times. Like
I think he's a fun passer.
Yeah. I think that the grab and go stuff, like totally different body type than Evan Mobley, but it's one of those things where it's like, you can kind of do some really funky stuff with the two of them on the court. One of them on, one of them off. Like if you have to play Cam Matthews, obviously you're not like looking to get him into the rotation immediately. You're drafting him 58th, but if it's, you know, a Mickey Mouse March game and guys want some rest, like you can do some of the same sets with him out there.
And I mean, they're a team that's found a way to get minutes for guys, especially when injuries happen, like they did with Craig Porter. But we're at the 58th pick, so they still kind of need that dynamic wing. They're probably not going to find it at 58. But like any wings here that like an RJ Lewis, Payne Sanford, Eric Dixon, Bryce Williams, Hunter Salas, that'd be a little intriguing.
Yeah, I'd be looking at Sanford and RJ Lewis over the other wings that might be on the board. I mean, obviously for different reasons. And I think Cam Matthews would be sort of third in my Cleveland specific consideration set of, man, if somebody's going to earn minutes in this sort of range for this kind of team, it might just be someone who's such an insatiable force defensively that they're just like, we have to get this guy out there. Even if it's 5 minutes a game, just completely change the energy around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pick is apparently in, but seems like they're taking their sweet time announcing it once again.
Mm-hmm. Man, Marc Gasol, 48th pick. previously. So they've got success going with bigs in the second round.
Yeah, Marc Gasol, noted Cleveland Cavalier.
Oh, it's Niang. Okay.
Yeah. He's fun. Stash guy who I'm not sure ever comes over, but was in the green room. So probably should have been assigned. Love the athletic tools. I think his slashing and rim pressure game is really, really fun. There's some really intriguing playmaking and defensive stuff. I wish he was 18 and not 20 already. The shot needs like a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky anytime you're like a sub 6'6 guy and like it feels like there's not even a willingness to shoot. And the free throw percentage isn't good. It was one of those things where you go to his synergy page and like, cause I watched a game and he didn't shoot a three. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go just like to the section where his three pointers are tracked. And there's just like an alarmingly low number of threes taken across the entire season to watch on film. And it's like, oh boy. But yeah, there's like a degree of feel. There's some defensive energy and production. I love guards that rebound. Like, but yeah, I'm still like not even sure like what position he is. If you were to talk about him within an NBA context,
I think a point guard.
Yeah,
I guess. Combo like, guard maybe. It's tricky.
Yeah, very very odd player, but. I don't know. I kind of come back to this sometimes where it's like, if you're picking at the end, if you just like really like a trade or two in a player, it's like, maybe just go for that. And especially if you have to stash a guy.
Yeah. So to your point, I mean, of his 304 field goal attempts per synergy, only 62 of them were jumpers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the pick is in for the annual Isaiah Thomas Award winner, the very last pick in the draft. So let's just get your highest guys off the board before we get into the undrafted free agent world, aka Maxwell's bread and butter. But who are the highest guys on your board?
Is this going to be Almansa?
My gut is it's Almansa because
that's my assumption. Because why else would he be here?
They're just going to force Memphis to take him.
You guys got to do us a solid.
He has a Spanish connection with him and Aldama.
He flew across the world to be here.
Also, shout out RJ Johnson for the super chat. Appreciate you.
Yes.
Happy to do it. Thanks for hanging out with us. This draft cycle has been really, really fun. Can't wait for 26.
Yeah, my highest guys on the board are still Victor Lockin, Bryce Williams, and Jonathan Pierre.
Metcalf?
I got Lamont Butler, Eric Dixon, Peyton Sanford, RJ Lewis, Vlad Goldin, Nate Santos, Cam Matthews, Cliff Omarui, Dylan Cardwell, Bryce Williams.
It's an extensive list. I mean, for me, it's Sanford, Lockin, RJ Lewis. He's not going to be the pick. I do still like Arthur Kaluma enough to be interested, especially when we're looking at, you know, two-way UDFA type guys. I mean, again, seems like there's a very good chance that it's Almansa, but looks like we're about to find out.
Enough with the pleasantries, Mark. Read the name. Oh, good Lord.
Taking their sweet time.
So this one's going to Memphis, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Jemai Mazik.
So yeah.
Arguably the best defender in the one of the better perimeter defenders in the draft. He's a psycho out there.
Yeah, I feel like I was very late to the party with Mazik. Like I obviously like you know watching Tennessee that like he's one of the best defenders. I just never really considered NBA with him. And then I saw, you know, he's in the Portsmouth field or whatever. And it was just immediately apparent in his first game at Portsmouth that he was like, yeah, I'm the best defender here. And like, I'm going to let everybody know it. And I'm just going to eat everybody's lunch. And he was on guys like glue the entire event, like just physically overwhelming them. And the guards at Portsmouth didn't have an answer for it. And he's made enough threes off the catch and he's okay enough as a decision maker that like, I don't hate rolling the dice on him. I heard his interviews were fantastic too. At the combine, I talked to a lot of people that were just glowing about his attitude, fully understanding who he is and what the role is going to be. Like, totally reasonable decision here.
All right. Well, looks like we're at the end here of another marathon night. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Metcalf. Thank you, Maxwell. Thank you, all the No Ceilings team, for coming, hanging out tonight. Thank you, of course, to all of you in the chat for coming and hanging out with us tonight. It's been an incredibly fun draft cycle. And for those of you who missed it earlier, we will have a 2026 mock draft out tomorrow. The draft never stops over here at No Ceilings. So thank you all so much for rocking with us once again. And yeah, 2026 starts tomorrow. Looking forward to it.